This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run on BFM 89.9, the business station. I'm Melissa Idris. I've got Julian Ng and Sharad Kutin here with me. 7:36 on the clock. It's Thursday, the 12th of May. We're going to take you all the way to 8 o'clock with news about Amazon and fintech and Islamic finance. But first, let's start off in Turkey, where there are plans to set up an Islamic megabank. So Turkey wants Istanbul to be the headquarters for a new Islamic megabank, and they say they're willing to commit more capital to the project than proposed under a similar plan by Indonesia.
I'm just wondering why it always has to be a government push as part of a kind of national agenda. Why are commercial banks unable to do what's commercially best for themselves, right? We saw this in Malaysia, CIMB and Gang. Mm-hmm. And then Indonesia had a push, and now Turkey wants to have this push.
So when you say government, you mean they want to set up a bank with the Islamic Development Bank, which is based in Jeddah.
Yeah, but this is something that's coming out of the Deputy Prime Minister of Turkey. And he's saying that Turkey should have an Islamic bank, and they want to work with Indonesia on that. It's not coming out of the commercial banks, but of the government reps.
But don't you think there's a nationalist agenda here in some way?
Absolutely, absolutely. My question is why? This is a commercial business, right? Why should that be a nationalist? I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just asking the question. And this is the kind of factors that raise the suspicion by the West, as they do with the Asian sovereign wealth funds, because a lot of these sovereign wealth funds have established stakes in sensitive industries. And the Western world is sitting up and taking a closer look at this as to what kind of sensitive industries do these sovereign wealth funds will own.
Well, why not governments getting involved in industry, whether sensitive or not, as long as it's lucrative? I mean, shouldn't that be the criteria for those governments?
Well, because they are quite bad at business.
Okay, some governments are bad at business. I mean, do you think is the Singapore government bad at business?
Well, I don't have data to prove it, but Singapore is... I don't know if Singapore is a lucky state, because you will search till the end of your life, like the Holy Grail, to find a kind of benevolent dictator and somebody a government who's very detached from the way things are, from business, the way business is being run. But more importantly, you raise a very important point, which is a question of whether governments can drive innovation and efficiency.
Mm. And I think also, some companies are bad at business. I mean, they're set up not to be bad at business, but they can also fail, as governments can fail. And I think the argument that has been made, especially for emerging countries coming out of colonialism, is that you've needed a strong state, that state structures, in fact, allow them to negotiate international capitalism, and that without the strong state, they can't, in fact, fight back the powers of, either global corporations and such.
If one MDB failed, the country would be in deep, deep trouble, right? That is why the government has to come out and guarantee their loans and bail them out. I don't think that governments can fail in the way that corporations fail. I think it's a very, very starkly different example.
And one day we will discuss Norway's sovereign wealth fund and its successes.
Norway's sovereign wealth fund is an investor. It's not directly into business. They pick up bits and pieces of stake of 1-3% in every company around the world. They don't establish businesses per se.
Well, Julian, just to go back to your point about why is this a government push, right? I'm wondering, is it because it is an Islamic finance agenda? Now, you don't have that in the conventional finance, in commercial conventional finance, simply because it's been around for a lot longer. Perhaps certain majority Islamic countries feel that Islamic finance needs that push, the government push to set up mega banks. For instance, I'm surprised to see that Turkey wants to partner with a foreign partner, with a Jeddah partner, to set up this bank when they can, Malaysia, for instance, we wanted it to be a consolidation of three local parties.
Well, I think that sometimes you need the government to catalyze certain sectors, like new sectors. But Islamic finance or banking has been around for ages, and it is known that it can be actually quite lucrative. That's why everyone wants in. But, you know, just moving a little bit away from the government involvement and looking at the numbers, if you look at the shareholder funds of Malaysia's proposed mega merger, it's around $9 billion. So that is a truly big Islamic, if they established that and the intentions were to turn it into an Islamic banking giant, that would dwarf the proposed capitalization of this Turkish mega bank, which is only around $500 million US dollar level of capitalization.
It's now 7:41. Let's take a look at Amazon, where the fortunes of its founder, Jeff Bezos, has topped $60 billion yesterday. And that was after Amazon's share price rose to an all-time high of $703 per share.
So Amazon has come a long way from just selling books. They are now a giant supermarket. And in fact, what is not popularly known to us is the Amazon Web Services, which celebrated its 10th anniversary yesterday. And what they do is they offer cloud computing services not only to very big companies, but also to small players, small users like us. So if we wanted to start a business very quickly, we want to put that online, we can go through AWS and set that up very quickly. These are the kind of things that are not very well known with Amazon.
I'm just wondering what was the reason for the share prices doing so well. I mean, clearly that's great for Bezos. He's now the world's fifth richest person. I mean, in the last year alone, he's gained almost 60% in fortunes, ahead of Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg, which his fortunes only rose 51%. Poor Mark Zuckerberg.
Well, you know, there's a very interesting question around extremely rich individuals as opposed to rich companies, right? Is their capacity to distort the market because of their investments, their personal behavior in terms of what they buy and what they sell, and is that something that should concern us? That individuals who have wealth, exceeding some countries in the world.
You're referring to inequalities.
I'm referring to not just inequalities, but the ability of very rich players, stakeholders, to distort markets, so basically reshape dynamics just because they have that kind of critical mass of capital on their side.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure about that. I mean, if you're talking about the stock market in the United States, is actually quite a free market, and it would be extremely hard to distort. And if you did try to distort it, the force of the law would come upon you. But what I'm surprised about Amazon is Melissa, your question, that they're actually not making a lot of money,
yeah,
but shareholders give them a lot of confidence. So it's that kind of distortion, the kind of star power you place into a personality, right, that drives the stock price. And comparing Amazon to Alibaba, Alibaba is actually a very profitable company compared to Amazon.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, the Amazon shares hit an all-time high of $703 yesterday. Analysts are expecting, are putting a target price of for Amazon to $1,000. I mean, again, I'm wondering what's driving this revision in target price? What is behind, Amazon's star power?
Is it so? Star power suggests charisma, the aura of the individual, confidence that flows from that. Is that what we're looking at?
It's also greed and fear, the kind of faith that you place into one person to drive the vision of the company. And if you look at some of Amazon's less well-known businesses, like Audible.
Audible.
It's owned by them. Zappos, which is the other shoe retailer, that's also owned by them. So they...
IMDb as well. Did you know that?
IMDb.
I had no idea that was owned by Amazon.
And Amazon
Not
does...
one IMDb, but IMDb, the movie database.
Yeah. And Amazon sells a lot of movies. They distribute TV shows, and you can be a member to watch. They act like a network cable company.
7:45 right now. We'll be back with more business news in just a minute. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.